Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to The Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek movies, news, and culture. I'm your host for the day, The Big Boss, and I'm here, my fellow geek guru, The Professor. What's up, bro?
What's happening? Triumphant return to the world of podcasts. Been on by, yes. Been a little while.
Yeah, been on a little hiatus, you know, just trying to get the mental health together, you know, get some chillaxing going, but we are regrouped and focused as ever, ready to give you the best take on geek news.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. So, you know, it's a little unfortunate the reason we got to join together today. You know, this is our kind of our memorial podcast for the man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah.
Stan Lee.
Literally Stan, the man, the yes. Generalissimo, I believe he was. The alter ego that I used to run around calling himself.
Yeah, man.
It's a rough one, man.
Yeah, it's a rough one, you know, definitely. It's,
basically the father of all things Marvel, ultimately, when it comes right down to it.
Yep.
And, you know, like we talked about a little bit off air, look, Stan was 95.
Yeah,
Guy had a fantastic run. You know, most people don't get to run that long.
Yeah.
Know? Let alone, like you said, been through two world wars and all the stuff that man's been going through, you know, it's been a rough couple of years, the last couple of years. When you look at things, you know, with the stuff with his assistant taking money from him and losing his wife last year. So, you know, apparently he's been really sick for a while too. He was battling pneumonia or something earlier this year. They said he was kind of sick. So it's weird. It's one of those where it's not shocking, but it's still shocking when it happens. Cause you know, it's going to happen more sooner than later. Again, the guy was 95, but
right.
You're still not ready for it quite when it does happen. You know, when it's someone like him who's had the kind of effect he's going to have on everybody. You know, when it comes right down to it, when you look at all the people who've been sending out messages and stuff and pictures with him and all the stuff just over the last day, it's pretty amazing to see.
Yeah, man, it's incredible just to see everybody rallying around and you know, sharing their moments of meeting Stan. I got a couple friends that, you know, posted pictures of them meeting Stan Lee, and you know that I never got that opportunity. I could always see from afar, but I never got that opportunity to actually meet the man. But his work has thoroughly impacted my life, and I'm sure that is the same for everyone else, especially people like listening to this podcast. Stan Lee's work, breadth of work, has definitely had an impact on all of our lives, and I think that I think the strength of it is just his willingness to call out, you know, evildoers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we look at these supervillains, and you know, we think that, you know, some of these characters are just villains, but you see as the stories get deeper, like the characters get more complicated. But when you think about Marvel at its roots, when it first started out, I mean, they had no problem, you know, putting a picture of Hitler getting uppercutted by Captain America.
Yep.
So, you know, evildoers beware. Stan the Man was there.
You know, and there's a whole speech, I think he used to call it his soapbox thing out there, where he put out, and I wish I had knew where it was, because I only saw it a couple times, I didn't read the whole thing, but it was like a whole soapbox he put up about going against, you know, anti-Semitism and things mm-hmm. like that. And
mm-hmm.
you know, for a guy like that who didn't need to do anything like that, it's pretty amazing that he would go ahead and make his voice known and put things out like that. So
yeah.
You know,
he had that. What was that initiative that he had? I think it's the joined hands initiative or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just like his whole soapbox and mission to fight against, you know, bigotry, hatred, racism, all that in this country and abroad. And it's just like his presence, just to say, in the midst of all that goes on, to say no. You know what I'm saying? That's a big move by somebody who, like you said, like, you know, really didn't even have to, but he used his platform for good. He definitely embodied the characteristics of the heroes he created, man.
Yeah, and I remember seeing interviews with him years ago where he would talk about some of these characters were actually born from his own state of mind at times. Like, I forget exactly what he was saying, but basically, like, the Hulk was him. The Hulk was his inner rage that he would get from time to time, that he would just turn into this thing that would, you know, be so angry and feel so powerful because of that anger.
Yeah.
And he turned that around. Like, he turned his own personal issue into this iconic, you know, character now that everybody, well, let's be honest, everybody knows who it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not it's not an unknown character. So, you know, all those kinds of different things. I mean, the list, you know, where's it? Co-created iconic fictional characters including Spider-Man, the Hulk, Doctor Strange, Fantastic Four, Daredevil, Black Panther, X-Men, Ant-Man, Iron Man, Thor. I mean, these are all now, because of the movies and the Netflix shows, these are all iconic characters. Everybody knows who these guys are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and if you look at what Black Panther has done now, mm-hmm. I mean, just that creation makes the, you know, all the big difference. And, you know, the vast history with the X-Men and
yeah,
all the great appearances with Iron Man now, with Robert Downey Jr. being Iron Man. And
yeah,
it's just, it's unbelievable what the imagination of one man has turned into. Granted, yeah, it took 60, 70 years, whatever it was, but
right.
What that imagination turned out and what it's become is just, I can't think of anything along these lines like it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know of anybody off the top of my head who's had such kind of vision to be able to create these things that now are so well known in the populace and in the, you know, the everyday, almost everyday language. You know what I mean? It's just unbelievable.
Man. You
tie back to just one man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, I think about it and I think about, you know, some of the, the key, like, Marvel entities that I've grown up with and have had a big impact on my life. Definitely Spider-Man is one of those. And I know you'll say the same thing. Spider-Man is, he's one of those heroes that stands out. And, you know, for a young nerdy kid who really just, you know, was about trying to get good grades in school and, mm-hmm. you know, get through that whole ordeal of, you know, elementary and high school and, you know, all the cliques and whatever that you have to deal with through that. And Peter Parker spoke to that kid in me that was trying to get through all of that, you know. And I think if any character embodies Stan Lee more, you'd be hard pressed. Spider-Man is definitely that character that I feel like fully embodies the ideals and the personality of Stan Lee.
You absolutely know? Yeah, and it was his idea to make Spider-Man a kid. Like, when he came up with the idea initially and he passed it along to, I forget the artist off the top of my head at this point, obviously, excuse me, was a famous artist at the time, but I don't know exactly who it was. It's either Jack Kirby or Steve Ditko. That's according to the article I'm looking at here. I think
it was Kirby.
Yeah, I think it was Kirby as well. Yeah. So, because I think what happened was he went to Kirby with the idea of the character, and Kirby created your prototypical big buff adult superhero Captain mm-hmm. America size type, just big guy.
Yeah.
And Stan said, it's not really what I envisioned. You know, I envisioned a younger kid, scrawnier kid, you know, someone who's going to be more relatable to the younger kids. So then I think he went to Ditko at that point and said, here's my idea. You know, what do you got? And Ditko carried the drawing and Stan went, that's it. That's it right there. That's exactly what we want.
Mm-hmm.
So it was his idea to create a brand new superhero, but not your prototypical, you know, big blonde haired, blue eyed, massive man, you know, Captain America style superhero. He wanted something more relatable, and that's exactly what we've had, you know, since the start of it.
Yeah.
So you know, just that one little vision tweak, and you went, no, I don't. That's not going to work. We got to do it this way. You know, and it made arguably the most iconic superhero character of all time. I mean, you could argue against with Batman maybe, but you know, if you were to ask 1,000 people in a room to the first superhero that pops into their head, you're probably going to get Batman and Spider-Man off the top of the bat almost every single time.
Yep. You know,
depending on who it is. So it's hard not to look back at that and realize the impact that just that one character alone has created.
Yeah, man, definitely.
You know, and like the little bit that I wrote up on the site, you know, that quote, the quote,
mm-hmm.
comes from Spider-Man, comes from Uncle Ben, you know, when he said to him when he was a little kid, and it's It's funny because for years, I never knew that everybody was technically saying it wrong.
Right.
You know, with great power comes great responsibility. That's the one that everybody always knows if they know Spider-Man, they hear it, but it's technically not right. It's technically, with great power must come great responsibility. And it's a little bit of a tweak, but it's a big difference between the two.
It is.
So, you know, and it's, it like I said in my piece, it is something that people probably need to think about, you know, with the way the world is right now.
Yeah, especially.
Especially right now, you know, there's people with great power who are taking no responsibility.
Right.
And it's, you have to take that responsibility when you have that power. It's just, you don't have a choice.
Yep.
You can't have one without the other. So, you know, just an iconic phrase, you know, that's going to echo probably throughout all the time, ultimately, as long as the character's around. So,
yeah, definitely. I mean, and it's so funny because it gets referenced in so many other shows, like so many other mediums, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, that quote isn't just quoted in Spider-Man, but you'll hear it in, I think I've heard it in Supernatural one time. You know, I've heard it in shows like iZombie, like all these other mediums of comics and superheroes or graphic novels or just, you know, action movies as a whole, like that quote, with great power must also come great responsibility. You know what I'm saying? That it's always kind of there. In most cases, it's misquoted, but, you know, the feeling is there. The sentiment is there.
Yeah, the sentiment is still there. I mean, I think I've even heard it going back to Castle. I'm pretty sure at some point in Castle it was said.
Oh, yeah.
Because they would reference comic stuff all the time, especially the episode of the comic convention. But,
yeah,
you know, so it like you said, it's one of those that pops up everywhere, and because it just has such a strong meaning. You know, if you sit back and actually try to understand what it means, it's tremendous. And that was him. That was his, you know, his wording, his phrase, as far as I know. So, yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's, just, it's hard to comprehend everything that this guy has had his hands in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, from the dawn to now, you know, and he's the one who, you know, when Marvel was going under, he's the one who made the deals to kind of save the, I'm pretty sure, if I remember the story correctly, he's the one who made the deals to kind of save the company. You know, he let the characters go to the other, the other corporations, but he always built in that little back door that said, you know, if they stop using these, they got to come back home kind of thing. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, he was always watching.
Yep.
Always paying attention, making sure that Marvel was the one who would really reap all the benefits that have come through all that. So you know, it's unbelievable. Just the outpouring, just from the people who worked with him alone, let alone everybody else who had met him at some point or another. You know, from the actors in the movies, from Kevin Smith wrote a really nice eulogy that he reposted again today.
Yeah,
you know, just. To a person, all of them will tell you that he was just the nicest guy that you would ever meet. He would sit down and spend time talking to you, you know, and just every once in a while he would slip into that quote unquote Generalissimo character where, you know, he would say to people, "It's an honor for you to meet me," which is pretty funny, you know. But they said it was never like the real him. It was always just this gag that he would do, that he was just the nicest guy. And the amount of lives he impacted, you can tell just by seeing all the stuff that's coming out. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you hope to get not even, you know, a hundredth of the response that this guy's getting when it's your
time. Yeah, definitely. It's just, he led a very powerful life and impacted a lot of people, you know. So if you could, let's see, if you could think of, like, just a Stan Lee creation that is near and dear to you. Just, you know, just spout off a couple.
You mean like character-wise?
Yeah, character-wise, story-wise. Just mainly character-wise. Like, even where the characters end up, like, you know, in their current incarnations, but...
Like we already said, Spider-Man has always been my favorite. It's always been my favorite character, just because it tends to be so relatable. Obviously, you know, I can't climb walls and throw webs from my wrists or things along that nature, and I'm not quite that bright with science. But just something about the character and his you know, that they've never let him cross certain lines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's never, his thing has always been to never leave anyone behind, you know, do everything he can to try to bring everyone with him. And that's kind of, you know, not something I always talk about, but it's something I always kind of want to try to do myself if I can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't, you want to try to stay with people as much as you can and help as much as you possibly can. Give whatever you can give, even if it breaks you in the end, as long as mm-hmm. it helps that person or saves that person some way, shape, or form, then you've kind of done what you feel is the best to do. So, you know, that character, you know, and the others, you know, I've always loved Daredevil. I've always loved Iron Man, mm-hmm. you know, that just some of my all-time favorite characters. You know, I mean, I just finished watching the third season of Daredevil a second time.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? And that's one of those that you look at and you never think is going to be made ever into a TV show. Now they've had three awesome seasons.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, all thanks to Stan, you know, is his character that he created.
Yep.
You know, I'm pretty sure I know where you're going to go with your first option here.
No, actually, actually, like, Spider-Man is my number one. Number one. Number two, one of my favorite entities is the X-Men. And the first time that it kind of clicked for me, the symbolism between the X-Men, and the Civil Rights Movement, the first time that kind of clicked for me, I was like, wow, this is like a whole nother medium. Like you could, I think that was when it clicked for me. Like you could change the world with this medium, comic books, you know what I'm saying? And, just watching the similarities between Professor X and Martin Luther King Jr. and Magneto and Malcolm X, it's just like those kind of moments are mind blowing. And everybody knows my most recent but most impactful entity in Black Panther. You know what I'm saying? Before the movie even came out, I had been really digging deep into, you know, the mythos and the character and just seeing the type of person that, see, like, if I could tell you, like, I started off my life kind of like with a mentality kind of like Peter Parker, just kind of shy, geeky guy type deal. But it's like as I've gotten more into my adulthood, I try to emulate the characteristics of T'Challa. Like I love, like that character is just incredible. Just the way that he moves, like the sureness that he has, the focused and pinpointed like direction where he if he decides to do something, it's what's going to happen. T'Challa's mm-hmm. never shaken by anything. It seems like in his story arcs, it's just like he knows what he wants, he goes for it, and then that's it. And like for Stan Lee to like really sit and work with people and create this character and let it go and take off into just this own entity with, you know, Reggie Hudlin like shaping like where it went, and now we have current incarnations by Roxanne Gay and Ta-Nehisi Coates, and the stories that Black Panther has kind of developed into. Like now it's not even just like we're on Earth Wakanda. Now I'm reading the intergalactic empire of Wakanda. Like that's where this story is going. Like it's incredible, man. And I love it. And it's just like all these characters can signify moments in my life, and I can pinpoint at what point these characters started to take more forefront in my life than, you know, other characters that I used to read, you know?
Right.
So it's just like, it's the world that Stan Lee created, the legacy that he left for us. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like he's not really gone. You know what I'm saying? 'Cause we'll always have these characters. We'll always have this impact, this touch that he laid on this planet while he was here. And that's always the goal, is to try and leave this world a little bit better than it was when you got here. And I feel like Stan Lee used his platform to do that, man. And those characters, man, I mean, Spider-Man, X-Men, Black Panther, they'll always be near and dear to me. So,
hey man, as long as there's somebody who still speaks your name with some kind of reverence, you're never really going to be gone, ultimately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, And this is a guy who artists and creators and comic book writers and comic book movie makers, they're going to, you will hear this guy talked about forever as far as that goes. You know what I mean? That stuff's, as much as some people claim they're tired of it, that stuff's never going away.
Nah.
And anytime anybody's going to look back and say, well, who was your biggest influence? You're not going to find somebody who's not going to mention Stan Lee, because it's just, that's who he was.
Yep.
He had his fingers and everything. I mean, he did some DC, even did some DC stuff for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, not very long, I don't think, but he did some DC stuff. So he had his hands everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just that kind of influence. It's almost scary to think about just how much he was able to impact, how many people he was able to impact. You know what I mean? That.
Yeah.
I mean, there's political figures who don't have the kind of impact that this man has had. But when you really think about it, you know what I mean? Like, there's people who have been in prominence for a long time in very high up positions that could never touch the admiration and the amount of people who cared about this guy and who were really just a little bit sad over the last day or two because he's gone, you know? So,
yeah.
If you really sit back and think about it, it is a little scary to know just the umbrella that this guy cast over the world as far as, you know, who knew who he was, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think we've like covered, we cover like just the things that impact us, but it's just like just the places where his stories have gone over the past couple years. Like, I remember the it was a 9/11 issue for I think it was like a big crossover comic issue for like a memorial for 9/11, and watching some of those and reading some of those panels and watching basically Spider-Man carry us through that story.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the best panels I feel like in comic history are in that book, and it's just all stems from characters that Stan Lee created, man. And it's just like that example that he set to be a voice, you know, to be a voice in the midst of like a darkness, you know. It's powerful stuff, man. It's powerful stuff.
It is, you know, and I mean, like, even on a personal level, you know, like, I kind of wrote in the little piece that I wrote. And as a kid, you know, my brother collected all kinds of comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then as I got older and I got a job, I started collecting my own. And he and I would trade them back and forth. And we would talk about them all the time. Absolutely brought us closer together as brothers. You know what I mean? Not that we were ever distant, but we had this one thing in common that we could always talk about if anything else fell apart. And we still do it to this day.
Yeah.
We talk about the movies. We talk about the TV shows. You know what I mean? So, and like I said, you know, my piece, now my nephew, my brother's son is kind of involved in all that, you know, and without Stan creating these characters, you never know what's going to happen. You never know if you're going to have that kind of connection or that kind of piece that everybody can kind of hang on to and come back to if there's, you know, if you just need to sit and talk about anything, you've got this stuff to fall back on, and it's all because he created it, you know, and that's just something that you can never not appreciate. You know,
I'll
never forget that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. You
know, just the impact, just what his creative mind created did all of this.
Yeah,
you know, I wish I could do something along those lines.
And I tried to for a little bit. I'm not even gonna hold you, folks.
No,
I bought the how to, you know, the how to draw comics like Jack Kirby, you know. Spent a couple of years trying to do that, and it just did not take off. I definitely appreciate that moment in my life, because, you know, I at least held on to some of the skills, you know, so I could at least draw the boss's desk logo. So
hey, it's nice. It works.
Yep, it works. It works. Oh, man. So what's like the first Marvel comic that you ever purchased?
Ooh, man, that's a good question. First one that I ever purchased was probably was a Spider-Man at some point or another when I started buying my own stuff.
Okay, okay.
Because I mean, I don't know if I remember back quite that far, but I know I remember when I was buying, for a while when I was buying my own stuff, one of my buddies, my buddy Eric and I would actually go to a store where Eric knew the owner and he put our names on some lists where he would do a pull list.
Mm-hmm.
The old school, going in the comic book shop, write down what comics you want. When they come in brand new, you know, I'll pull them for you. You come in and buy them. Every Spider-Man variant that was out, you know, the Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Mans, the Webs of Spider-Mans, the Amazing Spider-Mans, the Marvel team-ups with Spider-Man, anything that came in that he was the main character on was on my list.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it had some of the, you know, some of the Iron Man stuff would be in there and some of the Captain America stuff would be in there. So, if I remember, it's got to be probably some kind of Spider-Man title. I couldn't tell you which one it was off the top of my head, but I would have to imagine it was a Spider-Man title.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Do you remember?
What was the first one? The first one I ever bought, the first comic book, and I bought it in the series, was a Gambit origin story. It was a Gambit origin story. It was like,
oh wow,
yeah, when he was with the Thieves Guild and all that, and
yeah.
It was almost like that Romeo and Juliet story that he had with his girlfriend at the time, his long love. It was like a flashback. He was talking to Rogue about it, and then, you know, there was some flashback. He had to leave and go back to this old life or something, and he was, like, remembering some stuff in the past. It was a really powerful story. So it's just like when they, you know, especially now, like, now that they're talking about doing this Gambit movie, like, I kind of take this stuff personal because I'm like, yo, man, that arc hit hard. That arc hit hard. It's like, don't come soft. Don't come soft. And, you know, I mean, you can't help but typecast, you know, cats like Shannon Tatum. It's just like, I don't know if this is going to come hard enough.
Yeah, I don't know about that. And, you know, and that's probably why I get as upset as I do with some of the stuff with Spider-Man when they change certain things in the movies. That
right.
Because I've been reading it for so long. I want it to be, and I know it doesn't always work this way, but I want it to be the comic. I want it to, panel for panel, be the comic on the screen.
Yeah.
And it's as close now as it's ever been. With Tom Holland, it's as close as it's ever been to that setup.
Oh yeah,
little bits and pieces here that are different that will always bug me. But look, I'm just happy to see what I finally think is the best Spider-Man ever up on the screen.
Oh yeah,
giving me the character that I followed for so long. I'm content with that. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, and then hopefully, fingers crossed. Hopefully, sometime in the next couple of years, I get my other favorite. And Doctor Doom, another Stan Lee co-creation.
Yeah, man.
Shows up on my movie screen with the name Marvel in front of it, so I know that it's done right.
It's real.
It's real. You know, January 1st. That's what we're hanging on for here. We only got a little over a month left. January 1st is when they're saying that whole deal is going to be set and done.
Yeah.
So here's hoping that there's going to be an announcement that day. Oh, by the way, here's our Fantastic Forecast. The movie's coming, you know, in a few months.
Yeah, buddy.
So,
I would love that.
Oh, it'd be the greatest. It'd be the absolute greatest. But it's just
Let me ask you this. What was the first comic that you were gifted? First Marvel comic that you were
first
gifted.
First Marvel comic that I was gifted. If my memory serves, which is like 50-50 on any given day. I'm going to say it was a, you know what? It might have even been, wow, this is true. That's kind of funny. It might have been, I believe it's Secret Wars number 7 or 8, which is the first appearance of the black suit, the symbiote suit on Peter on the cover.
Nice.
With like a fight going on behind him. I'm pretty sure the first one ever was one of the Secret Wars comics. And I'm pretty sure it might have been that one, if I remember correctly. It's not necessarily my favorite comic cover of all time, but that was another one in the Secret Wars series.
Yeah.
The Doctor Doom on his knees in mid-battle, his armor falling off him, just for the record. but I think that might have been it, if I remember correctly, which Lord knows if I do. But that sticks out in my head all of a sudden when you ask that question. What about you?
For me, it was, I can't remember the issue, but I think it was, I know it definitely was an issue of Spider-Man. And it was the, I think it was the first time we ever got introduced to Ben Reilly.
Oh, the Clone Saga.
Yeah,
okay.
The Clone Saga. And I think what I remember from the issue is that there was a I think Ben was on trial for murdering someone, or Peter was on trial for murdering somebody.
It was Peter, yeah, Peter was on trial, but it was it was Ben in the courtroom, but it's technically Peter on trial.
I think
if I remember that correctly.
And then who was the like the looming shadow? I think on that one was Kane.
Was Kane was one of the background kind of yeah.
So yeah, I mean the artwork. I remember the artwork very vividly in that comic book, which was like it just popped. It stood out like everything was just like intense in your face. But it was just like what's going to happen to, you know, Peter Parker's reputation? You know, what's going to happen with Spider-Man in this? But yeah, it was the first time that I saw like multiple like Spider-Men, and that was awesome.
Because if I remember correctly, Kane's the one who actually committed the murder.
Yeah.
But Kane because was the one... he's an exact clone, it's Peter's DNA that shows up on the body.
Yup.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was running around, like, grabbing cats by the face and deforming them and stuff like
that.
The
Mark of Kane, that's
right. Yeah, buddy. That joint was intense.
It was. It really was. And you know what's funny? There are a lot of people who really didn't like the whole Clone Saga thing. I guess maybe they thought it was a little too hokey. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
You know? And the whole back and forth where you never really know. Like, initially, you think that Ben's the real Peter Parker and that Peter's the clone. And then it turns out in the end, spoiler alert from a 15-year-old comic, that it's not. It's the reverse, that Ben was the clone the whole time and that Peter was the real Peter the whole time. So I thought it was kind of cool, you know. And I do kind of like the fact that they're bringing some of those characters back these days.
Yeah.
They're essentially bringing them from other dimensions, or, you know, 1345 or however they're doing it as far as Marvel is concerned.
Yeah.
But they're bringing some of those back in the whole Spider-Verse setup. I do kind of like that, to see some of these characters come back.
Yeah.
You know, and the amount of Spider-Men they've created, you know, for this series is unbelievable. So just these random Spider people that are popping up now, I think is kind of cool.
And it's crazy because it's like you never feel like there's too many Spider-Men. Everybody has their own kind of unique traits.
Yep.
That they bring to the table, and it's I love those Spider-Man issues. Like I told you, I just started picking up because I wanted to follow Miles Morales' arc, and so I started following his arc, and then just literally a web kind of like just formed, because it was just like it started off as Miles Morales, and then I went over to his Earth's Jessica Drew,
the Black Widow they were calling her for a little while.
Yeah, Black Widow, and then there was the actual Jessica Drew. I started following her when she made that costume change, and you know, a lot of things were happening there. Then that arc with Jessica Drew, Miles Morales's Jessica Drew, with Kane and Ben Reilly, and just how like fun and like goofy Ben, how goofy Ben was, how serious Kane was, and then like Jessica was kind of like the bridge between both of them.
You can just picture her sighing a lot when she's around the two of them.
Yeah.
You can hear.
And then who else? Spider Gwen coming into the mix.
I was just gonna say that Spider Gwen has been huge.
Yeah,
I love that character.
Yeah,
I
she's Ghost Spider, right?
Personally. Oh, I don't know. Is she?
Yeah, I think so. I think they changed her name. Now she's Ghost Spider.
It's kind of a good choice.
Yeah, that is actually pretty cool. But yeah, like the Gwen Stacy character has definitely grown into his own, because it's like we had Spider Gwen, but then wasn't there Gwenpool for a little bit, and now she's
there
steady?
There was a Gwenpool, yes, for a little while, yes.
So, yeah, man,
that's funny.
Yep, but I just love it. I just loved how one character, Peter Parker, kind of gave birth to these all these different iterations of Spider-Man, and just how no matter what universe you find your Spider-Man, the main foundation of with great power must also come great responsibility is consistent in every universe.
Yep. Every single one of them. And they're all that same base morality. It may take a little bit of a turn here and there for certain ones of them, but they're all in at their core, the same base morality that they were before. You know, like one of the ones that I really, really liked that unfortunately, you know, again, spoiler alert from 5 or 6 years ago at this point, there was an assassin Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a character who, when Gwen Stacy is killed, you know, in the original, instead of just defeating the Green Goblin, he actually ends up beating him to death, I think, and decides that he's too dangerous to be around all the people that he loves. So, of all people, he hooks up with Wolverine and winds up in the mountains somewhere, and they become international assassins. And it's just a really cool character. It's almost a Spider-Man / Punisher combination.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's still got a little bit of that, you know, like, I need to protect, I do this to protect the people that I love kind of thing. Like, that's, I'm willing to cross those boundaries that a normal Spider-Man wouldn't if it means saving and protecting the ones that I love. So,
yeah.
I thought that was a cool character. Unfortunately, he's not around anymore. But just the different ones that popped up in the Spider-Geddon series.
Yeah.
It was really neat. I mean, they even went so far as to bring in Spider-Ham. I mean, come on.
Spider-Ham has come back so many times, man.
It really keeps popping up. It's really kind of funny.
Yeah. Like, I really can't wait to see Into the Spider-Verse. Like, I really want to see that movie, man.
You know, I'm kind of curious. I really am.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just got distracted by something. I am kind of curious about it. And some of the voices are probably going to push me a little bit. Like, I believe Nick Cage is doing Spider-Man Noir.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. Because that's a cool character. Like, that series was cool.
Yeah.
Going back to, you know, the 1950s, 1940s or something, creating a Spider-Man character there.
Yeah, it was like Prohibition.
It's like Prohibition. Yeah. He's dressed all in black. He's got a black trench coat. He's got a gun, I think, that shoots webs instead of actually, you know, like web shooters. But then he's also got a pistol that he uses because it's back, you know, in the mob days, the mafia days, kind of when it was, you know, hardcore.
Yeah.
Just a very cool character, in my opinion. And
yeah.
I think they got rid of him also, but I'm not sure on that one. But it was just neat to see all these different iterations that are popping up, you know, and even playing the game. You know what I mean? How many different suits are popping up? Things in the game that I've never seen before. Like, I had no idea at some point there was a version of Peter Parker who was Spider-Man, who then goes on to become the Spirit of Vengeance and become the Ghost Spider. You know what I mean? With this white and blue kind of gear, you know, and the Ghost Rider head, but he's still Spider-Man. Like, I had no idea that even existed.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, and that's something now I want to go look more into and find.
Yep. Yeah.
Just the range that it comes up with is amazing.
Yeah. And it's crazy. Like, all this stuff came from the start of one man's like crazy fantasy.
Came from a guy who literally said, I need a new superhero. Let's call him Spider-Man. You know, you do that today. If you do that today, somebody came out today and said, I want to create a new hero. I want to call him Spider-Man. Everybody would go, you're out of your mind. That's completely stupid. But, you know, Stan wasn't afraid. He said, no, this is my guy, Spider-Man. I'm going to create Spider-Man. And it's just, like we said, one of the most, if not the most iconic character that there's ever been.
Yeah. So. I remember there was this reality show, like, I guess during the time when, like, reality shows were, like, just popping up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Stan Lee got in on it. And
he did. That's right.
Yeah, he did that. He did that sci-fi. It was like a hero reality show. But basically, what these guys were doing, they were all coming up with their own uniquely designed superheroes and marketing them to Stan for this reality show. And whoever won, their character would then go on to have a movie created, and there would be merchandise, and, you know, Stan would have Marvel create a comic for that character.
I think it was Who Wants to Be a Superhero. I'm looking up now. Yeah,
and I think who ended up winning that? It was this guy that was like the Blur or something like that. Something, he was a speedster. I think it was a speedster. I want to say maybe it wasn't.
doesn't say here. I'll be back next week. Go to the wiki page and see. Let's see. It actually had two seasons.
Oh, wow. I thought it only had the one.
According to Wikipedia, it's got two seasons. Let's see. I don't know if it lists the winner, though. I don't seem to list the winners for the characters.
Yeah. But it's like, that was such a cool idea, because what Stan Lee ended up doing was creating a forum where people could get the same shot that he did and create this character of their own ingenuity and have it take a life of its own. And it was just like, the people that were a part, I know, like, people would watch that show and be like, oh, these guys, you know, in their middle-aged cats dressed up in their superhero garb. But it's like they truly believed in these characters. And honestly, Stan Lee gave them that platform to really enjoy those characters and grow those characters. So I was like, I felt like that was, like, my favorite part of the reality Shield period was Who Wants to Be a Superhero. That was fun.
I mean, the idea was genius. Yeah. I wish I'd have seen it more, because I remember it was on and I never really got a chance to watch it.
Yeah.
But the idea is pretty genius, because the people actually became the hero that they were creating on the show.
Yep.
And that was kind of how week to week went. They had to do something, some kind of challenge, obviously, to see who moved on and who didn't.
Yeah.
And then it says here, the winner got a chance to have their character in their own Dark Horse comic written by Lee. Where is it? I just lost it. The grand prize for winning superhero was to have his or her character star in a Dark Horse comic book written by Lee and appear in an original movie to be aired on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yep.
The winner also received the trip for two to Universal Studios Florida to participate in the Parade of Superheroes. So you got a little bit of everything. You got your own comic book. Then you got to be on a TV show. And then you got to go to be a part of Universal Studios and their parade of superheroes that would run through the park, which I've never seen. But that's pretty cool to give somebody that kind of opportunity that they would never get otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, so to create that, it's just another thing that the guy did for people that just was unbelievable.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Some of these names are funny, though. Looking at some of the names of the characters that created. There's one called Fat Mama.
Oh, I remember that.
To five times her normal size when she gets angry. She has other abilities that can be activated when she eats a donut. That's hilarious.
Oh, man. It was some really out left field ideas, but these cats went full gusto with it. So. Oh, man.
Monkey Woman has the skills of a monkey and can speak monkey as well. She has high-tech weapons and gadgets disguised as bananas and wields a bamboo staff. She changes into her costume in a tree as long as it covers her whole body.
Gotta give a little disclaimer. Hilarious. It has to cover her whole body.
It has to cover the whole body. Yep.
It's not happening.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
So I think best way to round out this little memorial for Stan Lee is the, all right, so what is the what was the last or current comic that you are reading right now that is a Marvel branded comic?
I'm actually reading a couple of them right now. Unfortunately, the Marvel comic app on my phone is probably the worst thing that's ever been created as far as my wallet is concerned. I'm reading through, as a bunch of reading through, I'm reading through the current Hulk series. I'm reading through.
Oh, nice.
There's a current Contest of Champions. Well, it's not, no, Contest Champions. There's new Infinity War.
I'm reading through.
That's pretty cool. That actually spawned some really cool characters, like combining Moon Knight and Spider-Man into Arachnite, which is pretty sweet.
Oh, nice.
Obviously, all the different Spider-Mans I'm reading, the Iron Mans that I read. The occasional Daredevil here and there. It's mostly Spider-Man, you know, and Venom. Yeah. The Venom stuff that comes through has been pretty good of late. So
nice.
Yeah, I mean that app is deadly for me, because it's at least it's probably at least $20 a week.
punching holes when it pops in the pocket.
Oh, dude, it's not good, but yeah. I can't. I love it. I can't help it. I'm digging the comics. I have to read through them.
Yeah,
I got it. Like
I'm reading a couple myself. I'm still trying to catch up with all the Miles Morales. So I'm in the part now. We've already passed Civil War II.
Okay.
I think we've already passed Civil War II. Now he's working with the Champions a little bit. So I'm floating between Spider-Man, Champions, Ironheart, trying to catch up on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I got really into it was during Civil War II. So I started reading Civil War II, and I started reading the Hulk right after Civil War II, and that focused on She-Hulk, because, you know, I mean, if you haven't read it by now, I won't spoil it. You know what I'm saying? There's some key things, but the Hulk kind of focuses on Jennifer as opposed to Bruce,
right?
And watching her kind of like cope with trauma is so grounded. Like you're hard pressed to find stuff like that in comic books, but I loved that arc. And so it was like, it's kind of building towards the new, I believe the new Avengers that's out right now with Iron Man, Thor, Cap, She-Hulk, and Ghost Rider, I want to say. And I think Doctor Strange and Black Panther are in it too.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was something about the what do they call them? The Eternals? No, not the Eternals. The
Celestials.
Celestials. Yeah. Something about the Celestials dying and
Loki's somewhere in that mix as well.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Yep. Loki's in there, and it's pretty intense. Like I'm trying to follow this out and see what happens, because it's just all over the place. All I know is, I saw Thor and She-Hulk make out.
I was just going to say that.
And I was like, yes.
I was just going to bring that up, that I just remembered that there's one scene where Thor and She-Hulk, in her full hulked out mode, basically just grab each other and start kind of going at it in the middle of a battle.
She was
to
like,
get themselves even more worked up for the battle.
Yeah, he was like, so he basically tells her, he's like, I don't know what's going to happen. We need to get this thing, but it's too cold. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And she just looks at him and says, why did you tell me it was cold? I'll warm you up. And she just starts making out with him right there.
And I do love the fact that now she's a bigger character, and she's the Gray Hulk as a She-Hulk instead of a Green Hulk. I love the way the art is for that now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a manly-looking character. It's still a feminine-looking character, but it's more of a Hulk than it used to be.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. She's not like just a supersized Jennifer. She is hulked out.
She is hulked out, yeah. Yeah, and it's really, I like the art on that a lot. It's really well done.
Yeah, yeah. So, reading that, of course, I'm reading everything Black Panther. I think I am current. I am right now on the third issue of the Intergalactic Empire of Wakanda.
Okay.
And it's, yo, that story is epic. It's like it's literally like if they put Black Panther in a Star Wars type of environment. It's like there's a Rebel Alliance, there's a Dark Empire, and the Black Panther. The Black Panther in this story arc isn't the good guy. He's not the good guy. He's actually like a bad entity. And there is a character that's been dubbed a code name, T'Challa, who's supposed to be the chosen one. So it's just like the way that they're telling the story is super cool. So I'm with that. Yeah. And then I'm reading the Shuri series, which just came out. And it's like now you can see like the Shuri now in this current incarnation is becoming more like the Shuri we met in the Black Panther movie. So it's like, yeah, she was like when they did A Nation Under Our Feet, which was the comic arc, like kind of right before this. Shuri was like she had just been brought back from the dead. So she was kind of like she was otherworldly. So her speech was like. It was super regal, but super I want to say like, I want to say it was like poetic. It was more poetic.
Okay.
And now she's becoming more of the girl that the young teen girl that she was in the movie. So it's like, basically what they were saying is like, now she's kind of like, her mental state is more settling and becoming more like how she was before she passed.
Gotcha.
So yeah, but it's pretty intense. It's pretty intense. 'Cause it's like, they're making her, they're basically, what happened is T'Challa disappears and they're about to make her a Black Panther again. And she's just like, come on, y'all. I did this before.
I'm good.
So, we'll see where it goes. I'm sure she's going to take on the mantle, 'cause she's a beast, but she just likes that. She likes to tinker. She just likes to tinker. So
the last Black Panther I read recently was the Black Panther Deadpool that you and I talked a little bit about.
Oh yeah. I did just read
which
that.
Which was so bizarre.
Oh my gosh. It is ridiculous. But you know what I love? Like there's comic books that stand out to me specifically because of the artwork.
Sure.
And the artwork for this arc is great. I love it. I love it. I really wish they would just animate this and make it live. And get Chadwick and Ryan to do the voices.
That'd be great. That'd be great. I'm just dying at the end of the episode. He takes dude's arm because he's like, interesting regeneration powers. Maybe we can use this for something. Deadpool's
yo!
Like, that's my arm.
That was hilarious. It's like, I have like, cause it's only a person like T'Challa could completely balance Deadpool on the opposite side of the spectrum.
Yep. For real. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I can't wait to see how that turns out. Yeah, man. Oh man, but to wrap things up, we just send our heartfelt condolences to the family.
Absolutely.
Man, we appreciate everything Stan did while he was here on this earth, and we appreciate the impact that he's had on ours and many others' lives. So, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for everything you gave him, especially. We always will always appreciate it.
Yeah, most
so
definitely.
As you used to say, my friend, well, not my friend, but I'd like to think so. enough said, Mr. Lee. Excelsior, sir.
Excelsior. Oh, man. So I just want to close out, man, and also give my thanks to everybody who helped support the Boss's Desk during the Extra Life fundraising campaign. We raised more than our goal amount. You know, this is kind of like, this goes on what we were saying earlier about kind of like the example that Stan Lee kind of left for us geeks. It's like a call to arms to try and do something positive in the world. And we sought out to do that. And this year we reached our goal and passed it. So I just want to thank everybody that, you know, joined me online and played games with me.
That was crazy.
From 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Like, it was fun. It was, the whole crew was there. Special shout out to Capo. He started with me crack of dawn and was playing throughout the day. Oh man. Special shout out to my man Aze, who helped me finish out the rest of it. 'Cause I was like, I was running on fumes, y'all, coming down to the wire. It was like 4 a.m. And my man Aze gets online. He says, all right, let's do this. We're going to finish it out. What are we playing? And we finished it out on Division. And I even got an extra hour on there. So, you know what I'm saying? Props to everybody, the whole squad, Am, JR, you know what I'm saying? Of course, the professor, he's there.
Yeah, buddy.
We're just talking smack and trash the whole time.
Oh, it was awesome.
Oh, man. Shout out to my boy Joe, who came on, played a little Fortnite and some Halo with me, and helped me confirm that Halo 1 does not hold, y'all. It does not. It does not hold. It doesn't hold. It's a good game past 3, but anything earlier than that is, woo, it's rough. Oh, man. But, yeah, I had a blast. We did the We did the stream. We did the stream in the casting. So I'm going to try and see if I can get that up on our YouTube channel. But definitely look for us to be doing more of that, because that was super fun.
That was. It was good. It worked well.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, any new games that come out, I mean, I just picked up Red Dead Redemption. So you may see me and the prof on that one. So, you know, look out for it. But yeah, so that'll be it for us here at the Boss's Desk. We thank you guys for tuning in, man, on this special episode. And we just want to once again reiterate our condolences and to the family of Stan Lee, and just, you know, RIP to the greatest. We hope that we can continue to follow the example that you set while you were here, you know.
Absolutely. Well
yeah,
said.
Man. So, you know, if you guys are tuning in for the first time, just don't forget to check us out on all of our social media outlets. We're on Facebook, The Boss's Desk, Twitter, at The Boss's Desk, and YouTube, The Boss's Desk. We'll put this podcast up on Google Play and iTunes, so just subscribe if you want regular updates from us, especially if you're listening for the first time. We're going to start getting back to it, folks. So you will see us. We'll be back up next week. Hitting up with the current events, see what's going on. A lot of movies coming out. We got a lot of trash talking to do. We got some trailers to talk about.
Oh, we got to talk about Daredevil Season 3.
Yeah, we got to talk about Daredevil Season 3, man. I mean, we got work. We got work to do.
We do.
We got work to do. We got games we have played. We have shows we have watched. I'm just finishing up Castlevania Season 2.
Oh, so good.
Yo, oh, my God.
Man. So good.
Man, so yeah, we got stuff to talk about.
No doubt.
Oh man,
I could spend an entire episode just talking about the Spider-Man game if I really want to.
I'm saying that maybe that's what we'll do.
We might have to. I will say, before we even get there, I will say my favorite game I've played in the last 5 or 6 years, easily. Absolutely, yeah. My favorite game's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think we talked about it. I think we talked about it offline in messages, but I feel like Spider-Man is the best adaptation of that character, period. And yep. I'm talking about Homecoming, Civil War, all of that. Like, even with Tom Holland, like, I appreciate everything that man is doing. But this iteration right here, yo,
yeah,
this is
you.
Spider-Man.
It is 100%. I'm with you.
Yep. So, yeah, we'll talk about it, folks.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll catch you guys next week at our regular time. We'll try and get these shows back airing on Tuesday mornings or Wednesdays. You know, it's a good hump day show.
Yeah. So. We'll get it to you. One way or another, we'll get it to you.
One way or another. You'll get one a week.
That's right. Okay? We're old. At least I'm old. I can't get more than one a week.
I'm saying. All right, y'all. So we will catch you guys next week. We are out. Later.
See ya.